process in Carter. In Jesus' name, amen.
Well, good morning.
Good morning. It's
great to be back with all of you today. A time of fellowship, a time of worship. And as we begin, we open our service today in the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Our call to worship, I've chosen from Psalm 12, just a few verses here, reading in Jesus' name as we begin. Praise the Lord. Blessed is the
man who fears the Lord, who greatly delights in the commandments. His offspring will be mighty in the land. The generations of the upright will be blessed. Wealth and riches are in his house, and his righteousness endures forever. Light dawns in the darkness for the upright. He is gracious, merciful, and righteous. It is well with the man who deals generously and lends, who conducts his affairs with justice. For the righteous will never be moved. He will be remembered forever. He is not afraid of bad news. His heart is firm, trusting in the Lord. His heart is steady. He will not be afraid until he looks in triumph of his adversaries. He has distributed freely. He has given to the poor. His righteousness endures forever. His horn is exalted in honor. And the wicked man sees it and is angry, and he gnashes his teeth and melts away, and the desires of the wicked will perish. And so, Father, we just pray now that you would come, you would bless us. May we see you and all that is said and done today. May you touch us in a special way to hear from you during our time of worship. We do, and again and always, invite you to be here and be present with us, Lord, this day. To your glory and to your holy name, we give thanks and praise. Amen. And so our first hymn is Blessed Redeemer.
Thank you.
it's in this morning. It is on page 48, number 6. Heavenly Father, we come before you this morning because of our old nature. There is a part of us that only wants to make us turn away from you and do that which comes, Father. We have given into this old nature and have sinned and fallen short of your glory. We confess this to you so that you may forgive us and cleanse us from that and make us your children again. Wash us and make us clean in your sight. In the precious name of Jesus Christ, amen. Almighty God, our Heavenly Father, has had mercy upon each and every one of us and has given us his only Son to die for each of us. For his sake, forgives us all of our sins, and to those who believe on his name, he gives power to become sons of God and has promised them his Holy Spirit. He who believes and is baptized shall be saved. Grant this, Lord, to us all this day. Amen. So at this time, we will have our scripture reading today. In our scripture reading, the epistle lesson is the main text for my sermon, so I would encourage we listen to that also a little bit extra and be prepared for that for our message.
The Old Testament is from Deuteronomy chapter 30, verses 15 through 20. See, I have set before you today life and good, death and evil. If you obey the commandments of the Lord your God that I command you today, by loving the Lord your God, by walking in his ways, and by keeping his commandments and his statutes and his rules, then you shall live and multiply, and the Lord your God will bless you in the land that you are entering to take possession of it. But if your heart turns away, and you will not hear, but are drawn away to worship other gods and serve them, I declare to you today that you shall surely perish. You shall not live long in the land that you were going over the Jordan to enter and possess. I call heaven and earth to witness against you today that I have set before you life and death, blessing and curse. Therefore, choose life that you and your offspring may live. Loving the Lord your God, obeying his voice, and holding fast to him, for he is your life and length of days, that you may dwell in the land that the Lord swore to your fathers, to Abraham, to Isaac, and to Jacob, to give them. Psalm reading is Psalm 119, verses 1 through 8. Blessed are those whose way is blameless, who walk in the law of the Lord. Blessed are those who keep his testimonies, who seek him with their whole heart, who also do no wrong but walk in his ways. You have commanded your precepts to be kept diligently. Oh, that my ways may be steadfast in keeping your statutes. Then I shall not be put to shame, having my eyes fixed on all your commandments. I will praise you with an upright heart when I learn your righteous rules. I will keep your statutes. Do not utterly forsake me. The epistle lesson then is from 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verses 1 through 9. But I, brothers, could not address you as spiritual people, but as people of the flesh, as infants in Christ. I fed you with milk, not solid food, for you were not ready for it. And even now you are not yet ready, for you are still of the flesh. For while there is jealousy and strife among you, are you not of the flesh and behaving only in a human way? For when one says, I follow Paul, and another, I follow Apollos, are you not being merely human? When then as Apollos, what is Paul? Servants through whom you believed, as the Lord assigned to each. I planted, Apollos watered, but God gave the growth. So neither he who plants nor he who waters is anything, but only God who gives the growth. He who plants and he who waters are one, and each will receive his wages according to his labor. For we are God's fellow workers. You are God's field, God's building. Here ends the reading.
Seven. May you stand for the gospel reading now. Reading in Jesus' holy name. You have heard that it was said to those of old, you shall not murder, and whoever murders will be liable to judgment. But I say to you that everyone who is angry with his brother will be liable to judgment. Whoever insults his brother will be liable to counsel. And whoever says you fool will be liable to the hell of fire. So if you, offering your gifts at the altar, and there remember that your brother has something against you, leave your gift there before the altar and go. First to be reconciled with your brother, and then come and offer your gift. Come to terms quickly with your accuser while you are going with him to court, lest your accuser hand you over to the judge. And the judge to the guard, and you will be put prison. Truly I say to you, you will never get out until he has paid the last penny. You have heard that said, you shall not adultery. I say to you that who looks at a woman with lust and intent already committed adultery with his heart. If your right eye causes you to sin, tear it out and throw it away. For it is better that you lose one of your members than that your whole body be thrown into hell. And if your right hand causes you to sin, cut it off and throw it away. For it is better that you lose one of your members than your whole body and to go into hell. It was also said, whoever divorces his wife, let him give her a certificate of divorce. But I say to you that everyone who divorces his wife, except on the grounds of sexual immorality, makes her commit adultery. And whoever marries a divorced woman commits adultery. Again, you have heard that it was said to those of old, you shall not swear falsely, but shall perform to the Lord what you have sworn. But I say to you, do not take an oath at all, either by heaven, it is the throne of God, or by the earth, for it is his footstool, or by Jerusalem, for it is the city of the great king. And do not take an oath by your head, for you cannot make one's hair white or black. Let what you say be simply a yes or a no. Anything more than this comes from evil. Here ends our gospel reading for this morning. May we join together with all of our brothers and sisters around the world as we confess our faith in the Nicene Creed found on page 18. Or the overhead, I'm sure. Yes. I believe in one God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and all things visible and invisible. And in the only Lord Jesus Christ, the only begotten Son of God, begotten of his Father before all worlds, God of God, light of light, very God of very God, begotten not made, being of one substance with the Father, by whom all things were made, who for us and for our salvation came down from heaven, and it was incarnate by the Holy Spirit, the Virgin Mary, and was crucified also for us under Pontius Pilate. He suffered and was buried. And the third day he rose again according to the Scriptures and ascended into heaven and is seated on the right hand of God the Father. And he shall come to judge both the living and the dead, whose kingdom hath no end. And I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Spirit of life, who is the Father and the Son, who with the Father and the Son together is worshipped and glorified, who spoke by the prophets,
and I believe in one holy Christian and apostolic church. I acknowledge one baptism for the remission of sins, and I look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. Amen. Amen.
Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Ghost, as it was in the beginning, is now, and ever shall be, world without end. Amen. Amen.
Baby, seated. As we have our hymn in preparation for the message today. No, the one before. One after. As I begin for my message, the title of today is Spiritual Maturity. And I encourage that this message is for the young at heart, all the way to those that are close to the Lord's calling them home, that it is meant from our holy word today to be of encouragement to us in our journey of this life. And I will read an additional text that goes along with my message, the epistle of 1 Corinthians, but also from Hebrews 5, verses 11 through 14. So reading those few verses right now in Jesus' name. About this we have much to say, and it is hard to explain since you have become dull of hearing. For though by this time you ought to be teachers, you need someone to teach you again the basic principles of the oracles of God. You need milk, not solid food. For everyone who lives on milk is unskilled in the word of righteousness, since he is a child. But solid food is for the mature, for those who have their power of discernment trained by constant practice to distinguish good from evil. Again, Father God, these are your words, the words of truth. We pray now that your Holy Spirit would anoint our hearts and our ears and our minds to hear from you this time. May all that I say and all that I've prepared be glorifying to you, O Holy God, at this time, in Jesus' name. Paul preached the gospel to the church in Corinth in the early 50 AD. During this time, it was his second missionary journey, which we can find in Acts 18. Paul stayed there for roughly about 18 months, and he was teaching them the word of God, Acts 18:11 tells us. God used Paul's ministry of preaching and teaching to bring about and bring a birth of this, an establishment of this church in Corinth. Paul, in essence, was the father of the church of Corinth. As we can see from the beginning of 1 Corinthians, if you go back and begin there, and as you look at that and you've heard that text read over these last few weeks, we hear of a fatherly compassion and the earnest desire of Paul for the people there to be a fruitful body, to be a church of Jesus Christ full of the Spirit and of works. A deep desire he has for them. He wants each and every one of these members to mature, to grow out of what we would call carnality, fleshly desires, and grow more spiritual, more deep in the Word. In Hebrews chapter 5, those verses that I read, what stands out to us is that the author, while unknown, is not only rebuking the people of that time, but he was also exhorting them. He was trying to encourage them just like the Apostle Paul was doing. He exhorts them the way any caring and any compassionate father would do with his very own children. He reprimands them for their ignorance and their immaturity and their trust not trusting in God fully. And yet the author wants them to leave their childish ways behind. He wants them to grow and develop an appetite for meat of the Word of God. It's as if this author is saying, hey, church, it's time to grow up. Church, it's time to put on your big girl and your big boy pants, the spiritual pants that he's desiring for us. 1 Corinthians, as we saw in those first two verses, but I, brothers, cannot address you as spiritual people, but as people of the flesh, infants in Christ. I fed you with milk, not solid food, for you were not ready for it. And even now you are not ready, yet ready. See, Paul is contrasting in his text the spirit and the flesh. The author of Hebrews is contrasting the idea of skilled and unskilled. But what happens here, which I think is wonderful as we see a unity of Scripture, is that when you put these two texts together, we learn that spiritual immaturity leads to moral immaturity. It's kind of like what we heard through that long gospel lesson that was warning us of much. When infant believers don't understand God's word or are not in God's word, they live to the flesh rather than being led by the Spirit of God that speaks to us through his word. They don't see that they need to live right and obedient to the way of God has laid out for us. So let me ask you, maybe it's a question that maybe is not often posed to us, but when did you submit your life to Christ? Have you been born again? See, Romans 8:7, for the mind that is set on the flesh, it tells us is hostile to the things of God. For it does not submit itself to God and the law of God, but indeed because it can't. See, when you do submit your life and you give it to Christ, there's something amazing that happens there, is that it says that you die to yourself and you truly become a new creature, and you begin to follow God in a new way. That's why, and I say this because let's be honest, we've all possibly have been there or heard about it. It is futile for you or I to argue with the unsaved because they don't see the things of God like we do. The born-again people can see the things of God, the Spirit of God working. And yet the unregenerated can't know these things, for it seems foolish to them, because they are still under the carnality of their minds. This doesn't mean that we don't evangelize, because that's what our unfortunate Calvinist brothers believe at times, is that we don't need to, because God's going to do it all. But yet it says to us in the scriptures to make disciples. We're commanded to share the gospel. But we do so knowing something. We know full well that it is all the work of God by His Holy Spirit working on that person individually, opening their heart to the gospel. That's why we are to tell all people in all times as we can the gospel good news of Jesus Christ. God doesn't see people as good or bad like you or I do. Rather, He simply sees all people as dead or alive in His Son, Jesus Christ. Born again is often overlooked in the church today. We don't hear about it much. It's not talked about much. But it is important. It is important for all of us that are born of woman, born of flesh, that we come to a place that we are born again into Jesus Christ. Jesus, our great shepherd, tells us when He talks to Nicodemus that you must be born again. Why? Because born again means that we surrender our lives, that we open ourselves up to being led by the Spirit, no longer living to lustful desires, but rather leading by a word of righteousness. The word of righteousness. This essentially means the message that leads all people to salvation and eternal glory. This points us towards the good news of what Christ has done for us, for each and every one of you. And we're hearing about the gospel. Instead, we're able to explain it. We should be able to help others understand it. We should have a desire to become spiritually mature as we grow and as we come to church. This is why the author has pleading for the people to leave behind infant childish ways and grow into spiritual maturity in Hebrews. Paul is speaking to the church in our text. Paul is showing us that carnal people, babes in Christ, are in the church today. And so don't think that they're not. Don't think that we're somehow immune to that. Because carnal people, infants in Christ, is why we see so much division and strife in the church throughout. It is the reason that churches get apathetic to sharing and proclaiming the gospel. Many say that they have received Jesus Christ, and yet they simply refuse to let Him be the Lord of their lives. Now growing out of a spiritual immaturity, drinking milk only constantly. See, if one stays in this stage and we take carnality to its ultimate conclusion, we find, simply enough, worldly living. Where we find Jesus warns us, pretty harshly I would say, in our gospel text about human anger, adultery, divorce, and false witnesses. Because all who live in these ways, our Old Testament text in Deuteronomy 30:18 says, shall surely perish. Even as we grow older, we should not become complacent in our walk. We don't want to become lukewarm, because Jesus has much to say about that if we become that in our faith. Thinking of the new covenant, a new convert, I should say. You've met one. Maybe, or two, or maybe a bunch. But they're like a shiny new penny, aren't they? They have an excitement. They have a zeal for the things of Jesus Christ that they have now found, who has freed them. And they have an excitement to learn and to grow and feed on the Word of God. Understand, growth must happen to all believers from infancy to maturity. From newborn till death, we all mature and grow. I began with telling you a brief history of Paul starting the church in Corinth. Though through discipleship, through speaking of the good news of Jesus, Paul was a spiritual mentor. Paul came alongside babes in their faith, and he led them to maturity with a hope that they would last and grow. Just look at the story of Timothy. Paul was his mentor, was his leading spiritual father, and he even calls him his son. But what happens if babes lead babes? What happens when the weak in faith lead weak in faith? The natural man in Corinthians 2:14 says Satan blinds the eyes from seeing the truth of the gospel. So it's always important that you and I continually pray as we witness, as we come together as the body of Christ, Lord, open their eyes to see the things of you. Let them come out of their spiritual darkness to the light of Jesus Christ. So a question I had mentioned that I say I even find hard for many in the church today to answer is simply as if I was to ask you, when did you repent and become born again? I hear a variety of answers to this question, along with a lot of stumbling. We all must be born again. Otherwise, the passages from Matthew 7 do not apply, where he says, not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven, but the one who does will the will of my Father who is in heaven. On that day, many will say to me, Lord, Lord, did we not prophesy in your name, cast out demons, and do many mighty works in your name? And then I would declare to them, I never knew you. Depart from me, workers of lawlessness. See, that's why your faith story is so important to know and to cherish. That is why it is we are called to be ready to give an account of God's glory in our lives and in the lives of people around us. To be sure that your story is continually growing in a wonderful plan of salvation and our sanctification. And our witness of the work of Christ has done in your life. See, a babe, you know, babies are so cute, aren't they? Especially babies when they're wrapped up in their diapers and beautiful little blankets. They're drinking their milk and they're in their crib. It's natural. It's good. They're cute and they're cuddly. But I say now think of that same child 18 years later drinking milk, still in a diaper, still sitting in the crib. See, if this is the case, it would bring you to cry, wouldn't it? It would mean that something has interrupted the growth process. It is not natural. And if that's the case, something is wrong. Paul says to put away childish things, growing spiritual matters, growing in God's grace and in God's mercy and the heavenly knowledge. Just as it is for Christians, we must put away childish things, grow in our knowledge, grow in the truth from milk to meat, deeper understanding of God's word. We now have come to what I call the critical part of our text. We see the difference between mature Christians and those who are immature. There should come a time in all believers' lives where we see the importance of faithfully and diligently studying the Word of God. It is mainly for a main purpose that we even spoke of in our Bible study a little bit today, is that as you diligently study and are faithfully in God's Word, you have a sense of discernment. And Paul says that this to the church, let us not forget that. What that means is that only those who know God's word and are maturing in Christ can distinguish good from evil. And so many of us look around our world and our hearts are broken, wondering why people act the way they do. And well, it's because they are not believers. They think and believe that they can live and do whatever they please because they only have one life and it's all about making your best life now, right? See, I would even say that it's not only true for unbelievers, but immature believers fall to this category also. Those who are immature or too weak have not had enough practice walking with God and His Word. And the churches that continually are led by these people fall, like the Church of Corinth does. And as believers, discernment is so critical for our day and time. It helps us live each and every day. It takes shape in many ways, not in overtly intellectually often ways. But what it is it's a discernment. It is like a theological grid, a worldview that helps us make instant moral judgments about others, about our circumstances, our finances, and our time. The author of Hebrews says that when we learn to practice discernment, we get ready for that solid food, the weightier matters of God. And that now, this doesn't mean that we become mature Christians and we have it all right, that we know all that we need to know. The word tells us that we all are to be continual learners and growers. And as believers, when we possess discernment, we can distinguish between good and evil, our text told us. We have a capacity for spiritual reasoning. It also means that we move from what Jesus has done for me to what Jesus has done for them. When we are spiritually mature, we move from what has Jesus and what can Jesus do for me to what Jesus has done for them and will do for them. See, it is our youth that we are concerned about. It is the unsaved that we are concerned about, those in need of encouragement. As Christians, we need to mature rather than settle for infancy. Paul is confronting division, discord in the church of Corinth. It tells us some follow Apollos, some follow Paul. But these men are nothing mere than other than under-shepherds to the good shepherd. Like pastors, we are but a tool, but an instrument of God's own using. So neither he who plants nor he who waters is anything, the scripture tells us, but only God who gives the growth, who plants and who waters are one, and each will receive his wages according to his labor. All preaching and teaching and all of the biblical commentaries and Bible studies that are out there must be tested by God's word. And that's where discernment plays an incredible role. All of us have a role to play in this kingdom. And all of us have work, and it begins with your Bible. While the PowerPoints are great, while live streaming is a wonderful tool, one of the saddest things I tell you right now is that when I hear people closing their Bibles and only listening to the screen, when I see people closing their Bibles and only reading and watching the PowerPoints. See, we all are to be testing to make sure what is up on the screen, what is being live streamed, is truly according to Scripture, friends. We are all one in Jesus Christ. We are all one in the work of the kingdom to build his church on the word alone. We all have different gifts. I praise God for that every day. And I want you to hear this today. I want all of us to hear this today. It is your labor that is rewarded, not the results of being fruitful. So much in our world, contrary to that, so much in our world says that you must have number growth. You must have amazing experiences. You must be able to do great things for the Lord. And yet the reality is all God calls you to do is be faithful laborers. Don't worry about the fruits. That's his job. Share your faith without fear because it is not based on results, just faithfulness. Have you shared your faith, I ask? I know it's hard. All of us have to overcome a reality that what can I do for the kingdom? And yet, we have to understand that the one who's leading us does it all. Only the Lord is able to open the eyes of those who don't see. Only the Lord is the one who calls people out of darkness. All we are to be is faithful ambassadors for him. Today, we find we can fall just like the church of Corinth. The Apostle Paul started himself. Carnality is still an issue today. Infant Christians still need to mature to fullness of who the Lord is calling them to be. God promises, he promised and he gave us his Son, our Savior. On the cross, his Son died to forgive us all of our sins, to free us from the ways of the curse of death, so that Jesus Christ is our life, our length of days, Deuteronomy 30:20. We can be reconciled to our brothers and sisters. We can live in chastity and marital faithfulness. We can now, as the church, break the now norms of divorce and sexual immorality and the truthful lack of speaking with honesty and truth. Jesus, by going to the cross, forgives us and offers us the gift of reconciliation at the altar. And we come and we can be at peace with ourselves. We can be at peace with our brothers and sisters. Because God's field, it says they are. God's building is what it tells us in 1 Corinthians 3:9. Overcoming carnality, division, discord with the body and the church. We all need to be continual studying, growing in God's word. Simply enough, it's about personal humbleness because of our Savior. It is about serving in thankfulness for all that He has done for you and for me. The church in Corinth falls. It's sad to know that, but it is true. We read that later in chapters. And that's because they never grew out of their carnality. They never got out of their flesh. And in closing, church, say all that because it is a huge warning for all of us in church today. It is to help us all see the need that we all should be growing and encouraged by the word. We should never get stuck or lukewarm. Not and should not mean actual infants. They're come to grow up. And we all have an individual, as individuals, believers, have a responsibility of our own spiritual understanding. And it is simply so we can build the church, help minister to those in need, to be co-laborers with a merciful and gracious God. And co-laborers, let me just say this. We always have people in need around us in our community, right? You probably know more than a handful at this moment. They are in need of encouragement. They are in need of counseling of God's word. They are in need of hope shined by the way God has touched your life. They are in need of mentorship to help them grow in Jesus. Today, there are many churches who are stuck on a solid diet of milk only. I'm going to be honest. There are a lot of churches today that don't even teach God's word. It may be more like they're on a diet of bug juice, sugar water, and artificial flavorings. And rather than the milk, because it is not even helping the body grow. But on the other side of this problem, I feel there are many Christians who just refuse solid food. They don't listen to the word of God. They don't go to their pastors or teachers and ask them questions to be fed. We desperately need healthy Christians in our world. Amen? Huh? We desperately need healthy churches, and not only in our AFLC, but across our great nation. And the process of spiritual maturity is not easy, friends. I know that. It comes with time and challenges. That is why we have seen today that we have to move from sipping milk to feasting on solid food of God's word. We can't stay in the same place because God loves you. God loves each and every one of you here and watching live stream. He loves you so much. He will not let you stay where you are this very day. He wants you to grow closer to Him. And there comes that time when we mature and we distinguish by our discernment of the word good and evil, helping others to know that as well. This is happening, and we just can't stop seeking the riches and the grace and the mercy of our God through His precious word. Philippians 2:12, therefore, my beloved, as you have always obeyed, now not only in my presence, but much more in my absence, work out your salvation with fear and trembling, for it is God's work in you, both to will and to do the work of God for His good pleasure. I have once heard it said that most don't hear God's voice audibly in their lives. And I say this to you today, that no matter where, when, or every time that you go to God's Word, it is right where you need to be. He speaks to you at that very moment, right into that very situation that you're facing. And so, friends, I simply say, when you need it and when you want it, and even when you're just bored, look down. Look down into the pages of the riches of God's Word. Seek and ask. Know that He is faithful. In verse 10 of 1 Corinthians 3, according to the grace of God given to me, like a skilled master builder, I lay a foundation and someone else builds upon it. Let everyone take care of his own building and build upon it. Amen? Amen. May the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, guard your hearts and your minds, and our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. So at this time, we will take up our offering. Gracious and Heavenly Father, we know that You give us life, health, and every breath, and all material possessions. And so, Father, we ask now as we give back a portion of those gifts to You, that You continually, by Your grace and Your mercy, multiply them for Your kingdom's work, here and now, through this wonderful congregation. In Jesus' name we pray and ask all of this. Amen. Heavenly Father, as we come to You now in our time of prayer, Lord, You know all these names that are here in the need of healing. And Father, we know as You are a great physician that, Lord, You know each of their needs in a way that only You do. And so, Father, we pray for that healing. We pray for encouragement. We pray for Your will to be done. We pray for our shut-ins here And we think of them, Lord, that we pray that you and your presence are with them and that you are continually encouraging them each day. Lord, we lift up the cradle roll, our church council, the call committee, and we continually pray for each of them. And we lift them to you by your sovereign grace and your will. Father God, we would just continually pray that, Lord, you would open the eyes for all to see of your glory and of your truth and of your will and way. And so, Lord, we pray for those that need that this morning. We pray for those who need to surrender their lives to you. We pray for our nation. We pray that you would move in a mighty way across our nation and throughout the world, that we would see your glory and see your moving. We pray for our government that, Lord, they would come to a way of repentance and the humbling before you, and therefore govern us in a way that honors you and is on our behalf. We pray for the world leaders throughout our world and for the authority of them to be summoned under you, Lord. And we pray for our U.S. military men and women and the families, Lord, as they are on the front lines. We pray you provide for them, bring them home safe to their families. We pray for the policemen and women in our local communities and their families as they and the first responders are seeing sin's effects firsthand. So, Lord, we lift them to you. We ask that you would continually guide and have your spirit of leading here now through St. John's, and that, Lord, you, above all else, would provide and continue to show your goodness and your grace as we move forward in the days ahead. We give all this to you, and we give you thanks for your Son, Jesus Christ, who on the cross forgave us all of our sins, and that we can come to your holy table in a way that is honoring of you, that we come empty and you fill us with your grace and your mercy. We pray all this in our Savior, Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. So at this time, as we prepare our hearts and our minds, we come together to partake of one cup and of one bread and of one body. And that is that we are united as one, brothers and sisters in our Lord. And he says, "Dearly beloved, as we purpose to come to the holy supper of our Lord Jesus Christ, we carefully examine ourselves as St. Paul exhorts us, for this holy sacrament has been instituted for a special comfort, a strengthening of those who humbly confess their sins and hunger and thirst after righteousness. But if we do not examine ourselves, we shall find nothing but sin and death, from which we cannot set ourselves free. Therefore, our gracious Lord Jesus Christ has had mercy on us and has taken on himself our nature, that he alone might fulfill for us the whole law of God, and for our deliverance suffer death and all that we through our sins deserve. And to the end that we should confidently believe this and be strengthened by our faith, that he has instituted this holy sacrament of his supper, in which he feeds us his body and gives us to drink of his blood. Therefore, whoever eats of this bread and drinks of this cup firmly believes the words of Christ, dwells in Christ, and Christ in him has eternal life. We should also do this in remembrance of him and of his death and how he was delivered for our sins. And he was raised for our justification. And with grateful hearts, we should take up our own crosses and follow him according to his commandments. Love one another, even as he has loved us. For we are one bread, one body, as we are partakers in this one bread and drink of this one cup." May you join with me in praying the prayer that our Lord has given us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. Our Lord Jesus Christ, on that night in which he was betrayed, he took bread, and when he had given thanks to his Father, he broke it and he gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take, this is my body, which is given for you. This do in remembrance of me." And in the same way, in the same manner, after they had eaten, he took the cup, And when he had given thanks again to his father, he gave it to them, saying, "Drink of it, all of you. This is the cup of the new and everlasting covenant of my blood, which is shed for you and for many for the forgiveness of sins. Do this as often as you drink of it in remembrance of me." Our Lord's table is now open. Satisfaction for all of your sins. Hey, you are fine. For he has made full satisfaction to preserve you to everlasting life. May you depart with God's peace. Receive the body and blood of our risen Lord Jesus Christ. Praise made full satisfaction for all of your sins. Do we have another common cup? I'll get this down. may the full satisfaction to strengthen and preserve you for eternal life. May you depart with God's peace. Amen. Well, that is new from the last time I was here. Body of Christ, given for you. Steve, body of Christ, given for you. The 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 body of Christ, given for you. Now receive the body and blood of our risen Lord Jesus Christ, where he alone and makes full satisfaction for all of your sins, and want to strengthen and preserve you to everlasting life. Depart in his peace at this time. That's more than three. Body of Christ given for you. The body of Christ given for you. The body of Christ given for you. The body of Christ given for you. Where the body of Christ given for you. 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 Now receive the body and blood of our risen Lord Jesus Christ, where he alone makes full satisfaction for all of your sins. He is the one to strengthen and preserve you to everlasting life. Depart in his peace at this time. Body of Christ given for you, and the body of Christ given for you. Come. Blood of Christ shed for you. now receive the body and blood of our risen Lord, Jesus Christ, who has made full satisfaction for all of your sins, the one to strengthen and preserve you to everlasting life. Depart with his peace at this time. Body of Christ given for you. The 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 body of Christ given for you. Shed for you. The blood of Christ shed for you. You have now received the risen, the body and blood of our risen Lord Jesus Christ. For he alone makes full satisfaction for all of your sins. He is the one to strengthen you and preserve you to everlasting life. Depart, receiving his body in peace. Amen. Do we have to do anybody else? We're good? Okay. Body of Christ, good for you. The blood of Christ. Father God, we give you thanks that you are an almighty and everlasting God, that you have refreshed us now this day with your gracious gifts. We ask for your infinite mercy, strengthening our Christian faith, supporting us each in the trials of life, making us fervent in our love for you and for our fellow men. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord. Amen. May you stand now and receive the benediction for today. May the Lord bless you and the Lord keep you. May the Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious unto you. And the Lord lift up his countenance upon you and to give you his heavenly peace today and for always. Amen. Let us lift our voices. My hope is built on nothing less. May at this time we go and support the youth and fill our bellies now in the fellowship hall here. And as I was looking earlier, I said this looks to be a meal of sweets with a little bit of spaghetti and sauce there. So we look forward to that time of fellowship. And I say at this time, go in peace and serve the Lord joyfully this week.
Amen.